know, I take that song literally. I know when Jesus said, go into all world, preach the gospel, a lot of people take that figuratively, but I always take it literally that we are preaching the gospel and all over the world. And it's amazing, you know, like Greg's talking about, what we are doing all over the world through our missionaries. In fact, I was just reading on Facebook, one of my friends in Brazil, one of Rhema missionaries, he just put on there how he was able to minister today to a grandpa, a guy who was up there in years in a cafe in a little city in Brazil. He went there and the Lord was able to use him to change a guy's life. You know, it's just amazing what God's doing all over the world, and we need to have more compassion on the whole world. I mean, sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing here and this city and that city and forget about there's people all the world that are hurting or looking for somebody. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you have a plan and purpose for their life. And Father God, help us, though, understand that there is a lost and a dying and hurting world out there that needs hope, help, and healing, not only here in Oklahoma City, but all over the world. And help us to have more compassion on the world. Help us to understand that it's not just about us being blessed and our own little self, but it's about us going out and talking to others. And Father God, we thank you as we go to minister your word tonight. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And thank you, Father, to help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that we'll get more passion about the things of God. And we'll go out to the highways and the byways and be able to share it with people who are hurting and dying. And Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for revival to this nation, revival to this city. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we just thank you right now that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, as we go to minister the word tonight, that they won't see me, but they'll see you speaking through me. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the anointing of God that's upon all of us and that it's there with us and leads us and guides us and helps us. And Father God, we just thank you for leading us to places that we need to be. Help us find these people that need to hear about how good you are, how much you love them. Help us just lead us every day to someone that's hurting and that needs some strength and some wisdom and help us to be able to share what we know. And Father God, we just thank you for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team as they're there in Nebraska. Thank you, Father, for this giving them utterance, and thank you for many healings taking place. Many people's lives will be changed. We thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hope everyone's doing great. Hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful Easter Sunday last week. Dad and Mom were here with you. Just an update. As many of you know, I've been having some kidney issues. Things are going really good. I had a good report. Went to my main doctor the other day and lost 9 pounds in the last 3 weeks. So that's pretty good. So I see my kidney doctor this week. Things are good. Amen. Not perfect, but things are good, and we keep believing God, and for a complete manifestation of our healing. Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about a message. I spoke to our young adults there in Broken Arrow a couple of weeks ago, and I got this actually. Some of you may be trying to figure out, well, how do you get messages? I mean, what happens? Do you just sit around and like some apple hits you on top of the head or something like that? Or actually, this came as many of you know that we went on a cruise for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, and so instead of taking a fun time by themselves to just celebrate, they wanted to take the whole family on a cruise, and none of us complained, and we went on that cruise. And so it was there in the cruise that I got a hold of this message. What happened was some things happened at port and stuff, and the boat was we were delayed getting off of one of our ports, and so that night during the show the cruise director was telling us, because we got there late, they were going to push some things off and make them a little bit later, little change of times or whatever, because some people were upset and said, well, we want to go to this event, but you guys are going to start in 30 minutes. We got to go change clothes and blah, blah. People were complaining. And so the cruise director was like, all right, guys, relax. You know, we're all in the same boat. Then she goes, well, literally in the same boat. I mean, you know, it's all, I mean, you know, we're all in the same place, you know, just relax. And all of a sudden it started hitting me, you know, as Christians, we're all in the same boat. You know, we all have the same captain. And we all have the same, you know, seas of life that we navigate. And we have the same devil that's coming against us during those seas of life. And of course, you know, the one scripture we all use when it comes to boats and things, you know, is over in Matthew 4, when Jesus calms the storm. And I want to read this because when I read it, I looked at it in a different context. Although I use the scripture quite a bit in my teachings, when I got into the mindset, we're all in the same boat, we have the same captain, I started seeing things differently, and then actually wondering differently what the disciples didn't see. And when I saw this, Matthew 4, starting at verse 35, reading from the New King James, says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So it was filling up with water. But he was in the stern or the back of the boat asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So here's Jesus, you know, first of all, he made the command, let us go to the other side. Now, if you're really understand that when Jesus made the command, if he's the one in control, don't you think that they would trust him enough to say, when he says something, that they think is going to happen? I mean, they've been hanging out with him for a while, and, you know, the things that he said before happened, so why would it happen? Now, you know, technically, he actually, and we talk about the Ten Commandments, he really made the command, let's go to the other side. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't this, well, I hope we make it going to the other side. Now, I don't know, obviously, you know, we have a whole lot more weather-related tools than they did back then, but I bet you just by looking at the sky or whatever, there were probably some inklings that there might be some storms out there. You know, this wasn't actually, they were crossing a lake, not an ocean, so it wasn't as, you know, there were some probably inklings. So, you know, I would think that if some of the disciples were a little worried about it, they might have actually, when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, they might have said, well, Jesus, you sure we didn't want to sit here and wait for a little bit? You know, looks kind of bad out there. See, nobody argued when Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Because at that time, there wasn't any rain. And we all, you know, we're used to tornadoes around here. And we know at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, it could look really nice. And all of a sudden, an hour later, you know, quote unquote, all hell's breaking loose around about you. And you're hiding in some shelter somewhere. I mean, you know, it's, I know that there are situations like that that change, but normally, you know, I would assume by this situation, they probably knew that there was a storm coming. And now we know storms are coming. They've got better and better at tracking these things. And I mean, you know, some of the latest times, even though we don't know where they're going to hit or if they're going to hit, we know, you know, say, well, in 3 days, it's going to be perfect weather for a tornado. So, and then we've all been in Oklahoma long enough. You can go outside and smell tornado weather. And it's, I mean, I'm being funny, but being really serious, it's you know, us that have been around. Now, what's funny, because, you know, being there at our Bible college, you know, so many people from all over the country, and, you know, this was the first tornado experience of the school year, and it's always interesting to see some of these people from other places that aren't used to tornado weather and aren't used to sirens going off and aren't used to the meteorologists running around, you know, thing. And you know, because if you're not from Oklahoma or whatever, you know, if you're from Oklahoma, I don't care where you're from Oklahoma, you get to know the counties pretty well. I mean, you pretty much know that, you know, some of the counties out in western Oklahoma are not close to you, you know, because they can always come across your screen or whatever. I mean, you know, but these guys don't know where the counties are. So, you know, they're freaking out, I mean, all the time. Every time they you know, have stuff. It was funny one time. Now, there are people that like to worry a lot anyway. And I think, you know, I know one time we were at my parents' house, and I guess it was my house too at the time. I lived with my parents. We lived on a hill. And so we didn't have tornado warnings. We had flash flood all over the place. It was raining cats and dogs. It was flash flood. And so my mom was freaking about flash flood warnings. Dad's like, you know, honey, if we get floods up here, the rest of the city of Tulsa is a goner. I mean, this is a number of years ago. You're just so in tune to, oh my goodness, I need to worry, that you start to worry. But here's Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, I'm at the understanding, you know, that one thing my grandfather always said, you know, God says that I believe and that settles it for me. So if I had Jesus tell me, let's go to the other side, okay, I'm not going to question his command. Even if the rain's coming in the boat or the water's coming in the boat, why am I going to question? Plus, you know, he wasn't asleep it wasn't like he was like on deck one and you're on deck three. I mean, he's right there in the same boat. Now, I'm thinking water's probably running in. I don't know how the guy's able to sleep on a pillow. Maybe he's tired. I don't know. It was a supernatural sleep. I'm not sure. But if Jesus was still sleeping, you know, I think probably what I would do, because it didn't sound like most of them were actually sailing the boat anyway, I'd go to sleep with him. You know, because I know my mom and dad used to tell me a lot of times, you know, we traveled around and we would drive things. And they said, you know, Craig, if you go to sleep, it'll make the drive faster. It also made their drive a whole lot quieter, too. The way I learned to read in life, because we were traveling a lot, I would sit in the front seat with my dad and say, what does that sign say? What does that sign say? Because I couldn't read the signs. I could just see the colors or whatever. And it's funny because they said I couldn't even read. I was like 3 or 4 years of age. And at the time, we had a motorhome. We'd travel around, and we would stay at a lot of KOA campgrounds. And so we were looking, understand, different day and age, we don't have GPSs. You can't pull your smartphone out. I mean, the maps don't necessarily show. So you're looking for signs. And it wasn't like that every exit you have a little blue sign that says at this exit there's a Quick Trip and there's this. Or, you know, we all have those in Oklahoma. So my son the other day took a picture. Only Oklahoma says at this, attractions at this exit, it had a big sign, blue sign that the state paid for. There was nothing on any of the blue signs. But anyway. So I guess everything closed down or whatever, or the exit shut down. I don't know. But so my parents said one time, they kept on doubling back, going back and forth, and they were saying, well, where's that KOA? And I'm like, well, I didn't know you're looking for a KOA. I saw a sign 5 miles back that way, and I can't even read. But it's just because I had asked, I always ask, well, what's that sign say? And I can recognize, you know, the stuff. So, but anyway, I found out if you fall asleep, it's a whole lot easier. Because then you're not bothered about what you see. Because the only reason the disciples were worried about it, because they were looking at the waves and the wind. You know, instead of looking at who their captain was, who was in control of their ship, who was the one who made the commands. Because, you know, we know on our boat there, we were on the Liberty of the Seas, and our captain's name was Captain James. Now, Captain James wasn't always driving the boat, I know, because I talked to him a couple of times, and he wasn't driving whenever I'm talking to him. All right? He was just the one that commanded the thing. I mean, I don't think Captain James sat at the wheel all the time. I mean, he was just the one who gave the commands. He wasn't the one who actually had control of the boat. You know, I don't know Captain James, except for the few times I was able to talk to him. One of the times was after we had got pushed behind on our schedule, he said we're going to make up some time, but we're going to be a little bit late and stuff like that. You know, not really nice man, you know. But I have faith that the Royal Caribbean Royal Caribbean Cruise Company has enough faith in this guy that he can command our boat. I don't know him, you know, never met him until, you know, I happened to have some coffee standing right next to him and got to talk to him, you know, but I don't know him. But I had full faith that we were going to be able to make the cruise and everything was going to be okay. And here's a guy I don't know. Here's the problem is, after this whole thing was done, they said they don't even know who Jesus is. These guys are hanging around Jesus every day, and they're like, who is this guy who commands the sea to stop and it stops? So I found out you can't really navigate your life if you don't know who your captain is and how much your captain cares about you and how much your captain is looking out for you, because if they weren't going to make it to the other side, then Jesus would have told them not to even go. I mean, there's been times where I've had leadings, and I know I shouldn't go, that I shouldn't, I just feel good about going to doing that, because I just feel that there's an issue. I don't do it. I mean, I always, you know, we talk about, you know, obviously you guys know that, you know, Cameron's a racer, and I always told Cameron, and I said, if you're ever on a track and you have a weird feeling that something's going to happen, pull off. I don't care. I don't care if we finish last and or whatever, because I'd rather finish last and get hurt. You know, because I believe the Lord leads us and shows us things to come. And if I have a weird feeling, I mean, you know, if I just don't feel right or if something's safe, you know, pull off. I mean, I've always told you, because I travel around the country, and if I'm ever going to get on an airplane and I don't feel right getting on the airplane, I won't get on the airplane. Well, what if nothing happened? So, all right, I missed it, but I still lived. The hardest part is to miss it and die. That's the, well, what if they have to cancel your meeting? So, you know, we'll figure something else out. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. Just because, you know, I know a gentleman, one of our, he was a graduate from our school that got on an airplane, and his pastor, he was music, but his pastor didn't get on. Pastor had a weird feeling. The associate pastor said, I got to get back, my kids need me or whatever. Well, the plane went down. Pastor, you know, now, I thought the pastor was on board, but he wasn't on board, and he lived to preach another day, and the music minister perished and went to heaven before he needed to. You know, the sad part about it is, you know, see, you had to hurry and get there, but you never made it. So we don't even think about it. So I tell my wife many times, you know, if I don't feel like I should get on the airplane for whatever reason, and even if I miss it, you know, I go with, you know, with what I, so I believe that if they were going to perish, Jesus would have known it, because, you know, that wouldn't have been the plan of God, and they would have known it. But he said, let's go to the other side. Now, the point is that Jesus said, why are you guys so worried? Why are you worried? And the reason they're worried is because they don't realize who was also inside their boat with them. Now, being born again, Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Wherever we are, I mean, he's not a phone call away. All we have to do is call upon him. You know, whatever we ask, he's there to do it for us. So we don't realize the power that we possess inside our boat, if you know your captain. Now, I want to share something about Captain James that's pretty incredible. I'm assuming, you know, you're following protocol. On our way to our first stop, which actually was in Roton, Honduras, which basically, it's Honduras, but it's Honduras for tourists. What they've done is there's an island that's not actually the main part of Honduras, but it's kind of off Honduras, and they've made it a cruise port for people. Well, I should back that up. They're making it a cruise port. The comedian actually was on board, says, this is after the Honduras, said, how many of you guys enjoyed Honduras? He said, you know, he goes, it'll be nice when they get it built. He said, the funny part about it is last time I was there, they handed me a brick and said, get to work or something like that. He was just joking. You know, but basically they built a few things right around where the ship comes in. And unless you're going scuba diving or going to the beach, that's about all there is to do in Honduras. I mean, or shopping the six shops that are next to the boat. But you know, and it's actually not, you know, people say Honduras is supposed to be really, really, not a real safe place, but Roton, Honduras is only an island. There's only so many people who can live on the island anyway. So, but on the way to Honduras, we get at 5 a.m, Captain James comes on the intercom, and he says, some of you might have noticed, well, we've turned around and we've been going the wrong way a little bit. I didn't notice. I was trying to sleep. And we're going to be about an hour late getting into Honduras, because evidently we thought someone jumped overboard last night, and so we were going to investigate. And what happened was, you have to understand, when you go on a cruise during March, you happen to have a lot of people on spring break. A lot of people on spring break are a little crazy or whatever. And so I guess, I don't know what time in the morning, but some of the people, some person on spring break decided not to jump overboard, but to throw their clothes overboard from their balcony like they did jump overboard. And some eagle-eyed person on their balcony was, you know, sunbathing at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. You know, I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, notice that there were clothes that came flying off a balcony onto the ground, called down, got a hold of the bridge. And so they stopped. You know how hard it is to stop a boat like that and to turn it around and to look. And so we went on a search and rescue mission. And so evidently, I guess, which I didn't know, which you all know now, there are cameras on the side of the boat. So they were able to figure out where the deck it came off of and then found the guy on the boat. Now, according to rumors from bartenders that some guy, some Texas fan that I talked to one day about the NCAA tournament told me, they kicked him off the boat, but they didn't let him do anything in Honduras, and they kicked him off the boat next. I don't know, but anyway. So it's one of these things, you know, on a boat, you're trying to figure out what really happened last night. All we know at 5 in the morning, Captain James woke us up and said, sorry, guys, we're going the wrong way and stuff. But you know, what interesting part about it is, this is some, you know, captain, that because one guy was an idiot, and, you know he didn't jump off, but you know, if he did jump off, would have been an idiot. You know, he was going to turn around this whole boat. There were 3,000 people on this boat for one idiot. How much more would your God do? How much more would Jesus do for you, even when you're an idiot? You know, I started thinking about, because I think I'm an idiot sometimes, but, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, how much more does Jesus love me more than Captain James loved this person who might have jumped off the boat, but he was still going to turn the boat around. And even though he knows he's going to screw up, you know, all these people's vacations or whatever, or some of the stuff, he's still going to do it because he doesn't want this person to perish because they jumped in without a life jacket on. They did something dumb. You know, but it doesn't matter doing something dumb. We're still going to try to save you. And then I started to think about, you know, but my captain, how much better he is. And he's going to try to save me and be there with me and help me, even when I'm not doing things smartly sometimes. Even if I haven't been the best Christian I should be. You know, he still loves me enough. But, you know, it goes back to reread the Bible about leaving the 99 to go back after the one. But, you know, it's interesting when I begin to think about, like Captain James did, it kind of shows you actions. You know, actions speak louder than words. It's nice to say, yeah, I will do that, but not only to do that, and then to sit there. You know, I know they're following protocol and stuff, what to do if someone jumps off. I'm sure there's a manual there that they all had to pull out. But, I mean, you know, what do we do when someone jumps off the boat? Well, we go to the cameras and we see instant replay. We, you know, catch the splash. You know, whatever they're supposed to do. But we turned around in the middle of the sea to look for this guy. And I'm sure we probably sent boats down and everything else to try to, we probably picked the clothes up. I don't know what all happened. Because the first time he talked to us, he goes, we think we found the guy on board. So, you know, they didn't even know. Of course, the guy was probably passed out drunk by that time. So, you know, but it really kind of, I thought about it over and over again. I don't even know my captain, but he sure is a nice guy. Because what if I was a stupid idiot? You know, and what if I really would have jumped? Because this guy just threw his clothes off, but what, you know, and I don't know, you know, if he just threw his shirt off. I don't know anything about really what on. I didn't talk to enough bartenders. I don't spend time at the bar enough to talk to enough bartenders to really know. And so, you know, I talked to guys who talked to bartenders, and that was, the reason is because this guy's a big Texas fan. He was so excited about the Texas game until the Texas game happened. Then he wasn't very excited about the Texas game anymore. So, you know, so I started thinking about how important it is to know who our captain is. So, and that's why it's important to know who Jesus is and how much he does love us. And that, you know, have confidence in him that he is going to help us. He is going to lead us. That whenever he makes a command, it's going to happen because he says so. And not only did he say so, you know, the Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. So it just wasn't something he said. It was an action he took. He died on the cross for us. I mean, you know, he went a step, you know, bigger than just saying so. He did so for us, and he cares about us, and he's there. He's right there with us to help us. And a lot of times, you know, we have our own personal pity parties, and we don't realize he's right there trying to help us. But we're so busy having a pity party between, you know, that we don't even call upon him. You know, he says, if we ask him, whatever we ask in his name, he's going to do it for us. But how many times we don't ask because we're too upset about what we did, or we're too embarrassed about you know, well, I wasn't the best Christian, or I wasn't, you know what? We're all going to mess up. We're all going to come short of His glory sometimes. Get over it. You know, and that's the thing. What happens a lot of times, we get embarrassed and we punish our own self. Because we get embarrassed, because we did something wrong, we punish our own self. And I understand, in this situation, it looked like this is one of the few times where you see Jesus, he's not like he's kind of mad about having to wake up. You know, because he's like, why are you guys bothering me? His whole point, why don't you have faith enough to command your own storm to stop? Or, you know, I don't even know if that's where it was either. Maybe it was, what does it matter that the boat's getting a little wet? I said we're going the other side, and if I make a command, it's going to happen. And if you know who your captain is, you know, there's no question whether it's going to happen or not happen. And really, ultimately, your captain's the one that's in control, and he's supervising your vessel. And if I have enough faith in Jesus that if it was something was going to happen, Jesus would have woke up out of a dead sleep and commanded the seas to stop. He wouldn't need anybody to wake him up. So either what Jesus was saying, either you do something about it or go to sleep with me. Rest in me. You know, and how many times do we read the Bible? Just rest in me, saith the Lord. Just quit getting so angry. I mean, do you know how many people are so upset about the elections and all this stuff? You know what? God's still God, no matter if your candidate gets elected, doesn't get elected, or whatever. Now, I believe we should vote. I believe you should pray. I believe that we should be involved. But the fact of the matter is that God is still God. And he's there to help you. And I like to point out, he's there to help you even when you're the dumb idiot that jumps. You know, I said the other day, I was joking. I said, maybe you haven't been the best Christian. I said, you know, maybe you haven't pulled your Bible down, you know, in a long time and even read the Bible. Or maybe you deleted your Bible app. And someone tweeted that, you know, God still loves you even if you deleted your Bible app. And this one lady it was on Facebook, and she says, well, good, because I kind of felt bad, but I have my real Bible, so I never use my Bible app. And I kind of felt bad when I actually deleted it. I felt I was doing something wrong. That wasn't really the point. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the point is you can have the Bible app and never read it anyway, so it doesn't do you any good anyway. Or you can have a real Bible and never read it. You know, my grandfather said one of the number one reasons why people do not get their needs met is they don't know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you can't claim the Word of God. See, and if you don't know what we possess, you know, through the Word, because a lot of times we call upon the Lord because we don't know the Word. If we knew the Word, we wouldn't have to wait to call upon the Lord because the Word gave us the answer. And so we knew we could already call upon His name. And so a lot of times, you know, we're waiting for a Word when the Word's already been given, you know, through the Word. And, you know, we have to know who our captain is. And we have to have faith in our captain that he's going to be there to help us no matter what. And that's the problem. They didn't even know who Jesus was. Because it was evident, they're like, who's this man who commands the sea, you know, to stop, be calm, and it's calm? Well, this is Jesus Christ. You know, but ultimately that we know by reading the Word that Jesus didn't just say that. He said that we have the power in His name to do the same thing. We have the power to command. You know, we've been given the power through the name of Jesus, at His name. It says demons will have to tremble. But here's something else I noticed the last night of the cruise. I mean, we had a really warm time down there, but we hit a cold front coming back. And so on the last day, it was a little bumpy. Now, I never thought that we were ever, you know, in harm's way or whatever. But I mean, you could hear the waves crashing against the front of the boat. Now, the last night, the same comedian that said he was, you know, they gave him a brick when he went to Honduras, he stood up on there on the stage, and he must have said 20 times, guys, I'm not really drunk here. I want to let him know. Don't be writing cruise lines saying, hey, the comedian was drunk, because he kept going, you know, because he's standing there, you know, his back to the front of the boat, you know, and we kept hitting waves, and so he was trying to not fall over on stage. you know, but he was like, guys, actually, this is the water I'm drinking. Not, it's not anything else in my water bottles, you know, because, you know. So he was being evident. But you know, it was interesting when we started hitting waves, people, although we're all in the same boat, everyone took it a little differently. We're right in the middle of the comedian show. That's when we started hitting some. One guy just took a beeline toward the bathroom, you know. The guy's like, is my joke that bad, you know? And he's like, but he was doing the international gag sign, you know, he was getting seasick. You know, and, you know, spring break too, some of these guys might have been having some other stuff to drink or whatever, you know. But, you know, not only, I guess he was feeling pretty good because it just turned out that he sat on the second row, you know, of like a, you know, place that seats 1,000 people or whatever. So he had to make a beeline, like, way, you know, and everyone gets to see him, you know. And then he's like, should we wait till he gets back before we restart the show? So he started, you know, making use. But it was interesting how you could see some of the people's faces, though, as we're walking around, they're getting kind of scared. I mean, you know, they really think that Captain James, I mean, you know, if the guy's going to turn around for a second, if I kind of had a lot of faith that if it was really that bad, that Captain James would have came on there and come, hey, we're going to wait this out for a little bit and, you know, and go around and do something or at least say, hold on, we're going to make it. But it really wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, but I know they probably read the cruise line things. Now, I was actually thinking, you know, if I'm ever to get turbulence on a cruise line, wouldn't it be great the seventh day of the cruise actually get the turbulence, so then they give us a free cruise. And so that wouldn't be bad, you know. Even if you got seasick over that one, that would, you know, get another seven-day cruise after already having a seven-day cruise. So wasn't that bad. But you know, it was just, you know, the only thing that for me was a little bit different is you had to learn how to walk differently because every time you hit a wave, you know it's going to bounce this way, and you just kind of use your thing. Now, the problem is 3 days after I got back, I was still kind of walking weird, trying to balance myself on a thing that was moving. You know, because it was almost a whole day that we were kind of hitting some pretty, you know, pretty good sized waves and stuff. But it was interesting how everybody took it differently. You know, now some people had probably been on boats, you know, more than other people or whatever. But we're also in the same boat. But we're all acting differently. Some people just go in their cabin and hide for the whole time. They're just afraid to get out of their bed. Some people were physically getting sick, and so they had, you know, stuff like that. But you know what? We shouldn't have to do any differently because if we know who's in control, we're going to make it no matter what. Because in life, you're going to hit waves. And you're going to hit waves you didn't expect. I'm thinking about my 46 years of life. There's so many things that have happened to me over 46 years that I never dreamed of that was going to happen, you know, growing up. I mean, some things have been awesome and some things have been terrible. You know what? But God's still God anyway, and I'm still here, and I'm still choosing to be happy about it. So maybe things didn't turn out like you wanted them to turn out. Maybe everything hasn't been a bed of roses, but a lot of times it hasn't been a bed of roses because of your perspective of how you see things, or your perspective. You don't realize that you don't have to live that way. You kind of choose to live that way because you don't go to the captain and you know and make it any better for yourself. You're saying, you know what, I'm going to let these waves all hit me, and I'm just going to go with the punches, and whichever way I go, that's how I'm going to end up. But at some point in time, you're going to have to come against these waves and say, you know what, you guys are going to stop bothering me. In fact, you don't have any power. Because the devil's going to hit you upside the head, and we all know one of my favorite scriptures to read is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does. Every day, I believe he looks at a way to try to destroy your life, your family, your marriage, you know, anything you can. But Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So one of his purposes in life, according to what he said, was to come that I have an abundant life. And a lot of ministers, they preach that and all comes up with they want you financially blessed. Well, you know, I believe that, but that's not the only part of having an abundant life. There's a lot of people that are financially blessed and they're financially blessed, but emotionally, they're a wreck. I mean, they're all kinds of this or that, or you know, trying to chemical imbalances or whatever. You know what? Jesus came that you might have an abundant life emotionally, physically, financially, and spiritually, every way of your life. You know, and I use the standpoint. I've never walked in someone's hospital room when they were dying of terminal cancer and said, well, they're living an abundant life, aren't they? It's not an abundant life. An abundant life is having a good life. You know, and according to what Jesus said, that's one of the purposes he came here, was for us to live a good life, and not when we all get to heaven one soon, you know, day soon and very soon. Because, you know, growing up, almost if you would, the songs that, you know, different churches would sing, it was all about one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to live a good life. We're going to walk on streets of gold and things like that. And yeah, maybe so. But Jesus says, I came that you might have an abundant life now. But how am I going to have an abundant life? Well, I need to know who my captain is. I need to have faith in him. I need to trust in him. And whatever he says, I need to put that into practice. If he says I can have an abundant life, you know, that means if he can, I can have an abundant life. If I'm not having an abundant life, that's my fault for not claiming one. If whatever I ask is going to take place, we have not because we ask, not ask what we will and it shall be done. Maybe it's my fault for not asking. Maybe it's my fault for not expecting, because I found out, you know, when things begin to happen and ways begin to happen, we expect to have turmoil. We expect that it's going to be bumpy. We expect, you know, because, and we start saying it, I mean, it's going to be a ride. Why? Why is it going to be a ride? Because you know what? Did Jesus jump out of your car or out of your boat? You know, the reason that it's a bumpy ride, because we say it's going to be a bumpy ride. You know, just because everyone else's ride is bumpy, why can't mine be smooth? Now, this is something that I've done, you know, just personally in my life right now. I'm not perfect. You know, sorry for some of you thinking I am. I'm not. Ask my wife and she'll tell you I'm really not perfect. But she'll say, everyone thinks he is, but he's really not. I have people snowed, except for my wife. Maybe my parents, probably my kids. But I've actually, you know, I've decided this year, and this wasn't a end of the year thing. This happened sometime during this year, and it was a situation that happened on a text message that I was trying to be funny about, that my wife thought I was trying to be mean about, and so she went real negative on me before she. Now, actually, I sent her a text message with a link that I was trying to get her to go to, because I knew if she went to it, she thought it was funny, but she never went to the link because she got mad at me for even sending the message, Because I use a point, she went negative on me before she ever got, and I said, just go to the link. And she went to the link, she said, oh, I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. It was a stupid, funny thing, you know. But I noticed she was going to be so busy, she would never look at my link, and so it wouldn't matter anyway. And, you know, at that point in time, I just decided that, and it was, you know, probably it was February, maybe the 1st of March, so you know, but it was, I think it was in the middle, mid to end of February. I said, you know what? I'm going to go positive. I'm going to endeavor to go more positive and think positively. Even when I get something that I think is negative, I'm going to start to stay on the positive side for everybody. Because I found out if I'm more positive, everybody else is more positive. And even if they're not, at least I'm positive. And so it really helps me. It helps me not get negative. And so I've actually tried, you know, both verbally, written, and in every form, to have a more positive outlook on everything. And, you know, it's kind of changed a lot of things about and what's going on. You know, it's actually changed the amount of times getting in potential arguments at home, potential things that I could take negatively. I decided I'm going to take it positively. Sometimes it's even made a matter I took it positive. Because, I thought it was a joke. You know, but I've tried to go more positive. And then, you know, even with this kidney thing, you know what? I've been all positive. Every time I see a negative, I'm positive, because you know what? I'm not going to let something I see determine who I really am. And that's what happened with the waves. It was something they saw that was really determining their outcome, because they thought they were going to perish because of something they saw that didn't look good. But we're going to see bad things come against us all the time, and we're going to feel bad things. And, you know, because I mean, a lot of times when it comes to internal struggles with different people, you know, even if it's not out loud or whatever, you walk in a room and you know there's tension. Sometimes maybe it's your tension, sometimes maybe their tension, sometimes maybe no one knows what to say because we're all awkward. But you know, the deal is, I've already, way before that, determined if there's tension, I'm going to break the tension and just try to crack a joke or be funny about it. You know, because, man, you know, we're not in high school anymore. I mean, yeah, thank God. Actually, I wouldn't mind being, you know, maybe not high school, you know, but being a little bit younger wouldn't be bad. you know, it's sometimes we get upset about the stupidest stuff. You know, sometimes I thought about, why are we getting to fight about that? It didn't really matter. And a lot of times things we got to fight was just because I was right, and we had to get to fight because I was right or I wanted to be right. And so it was to prove a point. You know, my wife and I one time got in a fight I won't say fight because it wasn't a fist fight, but a verbal argument of where the true north was in our house. And it's because we got a stupid satellite radio, and they said it's better to go to the north, northmost place of your house. And my wife said, "Well, this room's more north." I said, "No, this room is more north because our house doesn't sit like where this room is north, south, east. You know, so it's like it's really northwest or northeast. So it's really, and so I actually took my car, pulled up in my lawn because at that time it was before we had our smartphones with all the stuff, but I had a compass in my car. I couldn't find it. So I took my car and pulled up on the lawn and pointed it north. See, this is true north. So is this room? He goes, well, yeah, but I'm, you know, so it took 2 hours. Now, the funny part about it, the radio worked in either room we tried to put it in, but it didn't matter. It was supposed to work better in the one that was the most north. You know, the antenna of the radio was supposed to. And I'm like, I wasted 2 hours. And it was Christmas time. It was a Christmas gift anyway. It was because we both wanted to be right over north. It didn't, and when we solved it, it still didn't help anybody. Nobody really won because, you know, like, we don't have a north room. We had a north or east or a north, a northwest room. And it was, is it better to be in the northeast room or is it better to be in the northwest room? And I said one, she said the other. And it's only because our house doesn't sit normal. We sit kind of a corner lot. So it kind of is, our house is not normal north, south, east, and west. Like our neighbor's house, though, next on this side of us is perfect. If you, they wouldn't have the argument at all. It was just, and because of the way my house is set, the neighborhood goes down and it kind of turns at my, it doesn't, it's not a cul-de-sac because it goes around, but it turns, you know, it makes things weird. In fact, I just had to put a new mailbox out there because I have one of those mailboxes that, you know, has stone and stuff around it and matches the house. Well, the second time it happened is people either they're drunk or they're texting or they're whatever, and they don't realize the road curves. And if you follow the road, doesn't curve, you hit my mailbox. So I came back from the cruise. My mailbox is like laying, you know, in shambles. You know, now the mailbox stayed fine. It was just some stones, were on the ground, and I don't know what someone's car looked like. But you know, I had to go fix the mailbox because I don't. And then we have fights over north because we live in a house that's not north, south, east, west. Now I told you all that we do the stupidest stuff sometimes, but God loves us anyway. But you know what? Sometimes that we can get along better here on the earth. I'm not talking about husband and wife or whatever. A lot of times we let ourselves get to a place. I mean, there are times there are times when you're in a situation where you could go negative or go positive or just don't say anything at all. And we sometimes make the wrong choice. I'm not trying to fault you when we make the wrong choice, because sometimes you're gonna do something you probably shouldn't have done. Say a lot of things you probably shouldn't say, just like ask everyone our political candidates right now if you wish you wouldn't have inserted your foot, because they've all done it. Some people doing it a little more than others. But, I'm just glad I'm not getting interviewed every day and asking me dumb questions all the time, too. Because, you know, they're going to make me say stuff that I didn't want to say, you know. Anyway, but you know what? Why don't you choose to be more positive? Because when you choose to be more positive, I found that it changes your outlook totally. You know, If my outlook was, you know what, well, we are getting water in our boat, but Jesus is asleep, and if he's going to sleep, I'm going to sleep too. If he's going to rest, why can't I? Amen. The only reason the disciples couldn't rest is because they were too busy looking to the storm. Now, I know, we live in Oklahoma. We know when the tornado sirens go off, and we go to the front porch to see. Or we're like, okay, I'm going to drive my car over there because that's closer to the tornado. You know, so... But you got to watch those things because, You just never know. I mean, we had a little bit of damage in Tulsa. Not too bad because we surveyed the damage, but it's really hard because watching the damage on TV, or actually it was on my iPad, trying to figure out if we need to release teams. And so you see a couch in the middle of the road and you say, well, it looks like someone's house where I got the sword, there's a couch in the middle of the road. But then you start thinking, well, was that couch from the front yard or was it actually from somebody's house? Because, in Oklahoma, it's not uncommon, especially when you have some land there where they're from, that people have couches in their front yard, or stuff. In fact, there was one guy's house. I'm like, I don't know if he helped this guy or not. But, or everyone's going to help him because it looks like his yard was a mess before the tornado actually hit the house. Because I see all old cars and looks like he lives in a junkyard. But thank God they're in the Tulsa area. I mean, it hit for the most part places that didn't have a lot of them people and feel bad for the people who got hit, but I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. So, going serving the tornado damage, it's a good thing for people who actually work in the roofing contractor industry. Most of people's houses they all had insurance, and so there were already roofing contractors already on the roof. There were already companies that come in, and do all the disaster restoration that somebody was paying for. So. At least, I guess, the good part about it, if you want to say, is that the people got hit had insurance. So it's like, we didn't really have a lot of stuff that we were able to help them on this situation, which is always a good thing. I felt bad. Our meteorologist said, well, the bad news is it's, so there's good and bad news about this tornado. So the good news is it's only an EF0 or maybe an EF1. So the bad news is it's actually a tornado. Because I've often found it was really hard. One day, I'm saying, am I going to go to this guy and said, well, you only got hit with an EF3. These guys over there got hit with an EF5, and their house is a whole lot worse. I mean, it doesn't really help out, whenever your stuff is still strewn across the yard. But you know what? The good news is, no matter how bad your storm is, Jesus is there with you. He's going to help you through it. He's going to help you through it. And even if you're stupid enough to jump, he's still going to help you through it. He's still the captain of your boat. And I think, and I understand he was following protocol, but the fact that a guy turned a cruise ship of 3,000 people around to look for one guy that might have jumped off the boat, and to thinking how much more my God loves me, to thinking how much, that I should understand and how much I should understand that I'm sure he loved me, because I'm sure that Captain James didn't really love this guy a whole lot that jumped, especially knowing he was probably inebriated whenever he didn't jump, thank God. But I'm sure he wasn't really pleased about that. But how much more does my Jesus love me? And I need to get to know him more. I need instead of asking who's this guy that calms the wind, well, how do I do that? I mean, why didn't I do that? Because you think about the disciples. Shouldn't one of the disciples actually maybe said, we're all idiots. One of them going to step up and say, why don't we do something about it? Didn't Jesus say we're going to go the other side? But not one of them stepped up. It's just like, I look at the story about Peter walking on the water, and many people make fun of Peter walking on the water. The story where Peter says, Jesus, that's you. Let me come out there. And Peter begins to walk on the water and does fine until once again, I guess disciples had trouble with storms and stuff. Peter begins to look at the waves and stuff, and then he begins to sink. But and people kind of make fun of Peter because they're saying, well, hey, you have little faith. Why'd you sink? Now, first of all, it did say Peter walked on the water, so he actually walked on the water for a little bit before he sank. So that's a pretty big deal. I don't know if you think it's a pretty big deal, but it's a pretty big deal. I think it's a pretty big deal. But what I think is also a pretty big deal is the 11 other guys are still in the boat. That never said, because I would think it'd be pretty cool if Jesus said, I can go walk on the water. I'd be the first one out of the boat. And if he said, well, Peter, you come out there and you can't come out there, Craig. Not like one of the disciples anyway, but I would have got out of the boat anyway, just because, if Peter can do it, why can't I? But there are 11 other guys who wouldn't even get out of the boat, but they made fun of Peter for sinking. So I'm thinking, but in this situation, there was all 12 of them. They were all afraid. Now, I understand, that was a few chapters later or whatever, so maybe a few chapters they got a little bit of education about, waves are and wind and storms are tough and they come against us, but we have to overlook those things. And if you look at your captain and you keep your eyes on your captain, you're going to overlook the storms. So what you need to do is when things are bad, start overlooking stuff. Overlooking stuff, okay, it's a storm. We'll get through it. Because look to your Jesus. Look to the one who's in control. And I know, things seem tough financially. But whose report you're going to believe? You're going to believe, what's actually there or the report of the Lord. I mean, whatever we need, we understand what to do. And we're all in the same boat. We all go through the same challenges. People don't realize, they think, you don't go through the same challenges as I do. Yes, I do. We all go through the same challenges. You're not special. You don't have any extra challenges that we don't all go through. And so, God knows you're going through the same challenges. You can make it. Whenever I face a challenge, even though he didn't tell me we're going to get to the other side, I just go back to the thing. So I'm getting to the other side of this. I'm getting to the other side. Amen. And sometimes, use, the terminology, come hell or high water. I'm getting to the other side. I don't care how much water gets in my boat. I don't care how many waves, are trying to stop me, because the waves aren't going to bother me, because, Jesus already told me waves are coming because the devil is going to come and attack me. And that's the thing, when I'm on a boat, I don't necessarily get seasick, because I kind of assume at some point in time we're going to hit some waves. That's kind of part of the ocean. There are waves out there and it makes the surfers happy or whatever. So, or the whales or whoever, wants to jump the waves, or the guys some people happy, but it makes the guys who wants to jump the waves happy or whatever, or ride the waves. But, that's part of the ocean. If I'm going to be on the ocean, I'm going to hit some waves. But I have enough faith, in my captain, in my boat, enough faith that, although I want to know who decided that how many tons of steel could float on the water. I'm not sure who came up with that idea, but I guess it works. I don't know how it works. And that's the problem. The problem is we don't know how it works sometimes. And we're trying to figure out how is it going to work and how these waves are going to stop and how am I going to get through? Quit asking how and start looking to who. Right. Who is going to get you through? That's having faith in your captain. That's knowing who's in control of your ship. That's putting everything behind behind him and his ability. I pray all the time. It's not about my ability, not about my authority. I'm not the one that said, let's go to the other side. Jesus did. I'm just along for the ride. I'm just in the boat. And I tell you what, my boat's going to make it. Because I know who's in the boat and I know who's controlling the boat. I'm not controlling the boat. I'm letting God be God. I'm going to make it through. And so many times, I'm just here to tell you, you're all in the same boat. You're going to hit waves. You're going to hit wind. You're going to hit things that you don't know what to do. But instead of getting all upset about it, instead of letting it, change your thought pattern, just say, I'm trusting God. And if he can't make it happen, I don't know who can. There's nobody else that can. I mean, you're a goner anyway, so why does it matter? I mean, he's the only person you can trust. And waves are going to come. Wind's going to come. Things in life are going to happen. You're going to face some things in life that you never thought you were going to. But that's because the devil's a liar. Because the devil's trying to wipe you out, trying to wipe your family out. And he'll do things but you know what? You can start getting worried about it, or you can put your trust in God, the one that's there. And even if you did something stupid, like jump off the boat, he's still there to help you, pick you up, dust you off, and he won't even kick you out. That's one thing that, the cruise line might kick you out of the boat, but Jesus will say, you're stupid, but you can stay in our boat. And let me try to help you. Just don't jump off next time. Just hang on. But that's what happens, and literally, even you think about, when the tragedy thing like 9/11 happened, people were jumping out of the building because they didn't know what else to do. And when people don't know what to do, they jump sometimes. They run, and it happens in our own life. A lot of times we start facing stuff and we don't know what to do, and we just jump and we try to do something. If you're going to jump, I want you to jump into Jesus' arms. You know, many people try to, well, I'll try to do it. Don't try to be a hero. Just trust in him. You know, and sometimes we think, well, it's weakness, you know, to call upon. No, he's there to help us. Call upon his name. Put him in control. Sometimes put him back in control. That's what happens. You've been trying to control your boat. You know, you and Frank Sinatra have been trying to do things your own way. But it's time for you to do things God's way and let God be in control. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we thank you that we start facing storms and trials and tribulations, that you'll help us remember this little sermon that, you know what? Jesus is in our boat. He's in control. He's helping us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. And we're going to make it. And Father God, we just thank you for helping us to know beyond measure that it doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter what we come to, that you're still there with us. You're leading. Even if we do things stupid on our own self, that you're there to pick us up and to help us to get through our situation. And Father God, we just pray for each and every person that's here. We just pray for helping them. And Father God, help them to be able to go out and talk to others and help others be able to know, you know what? Put your trust in God more. Trust in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and he can direct your path. So let him direct our path and lead us to the place we need to be. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without coming to the saving knowledge of your son, Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you say, Craig, man, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know my captain. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want to tonight. I want to know who you're talking about. I want to make him Lord and Savior in my life. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here tonight and you say, Craig, I know the Lord, and I walk closely with him, but I just kind of been turning my back and went away and kind of done things my own way. But tonight I want to publicly come back and rededicate my life to God again. I want to remake him captain of my boat. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that needs to come to the saving knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis to talk with them. And we thank you, Father, for helping them come to that knowledge. And Father God, help us all if we need to come back home and to rededicate our life. Help us to understand that and do it on for ourselves. We just thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if you're here and you need healing in your body, anyone here needs healing in their body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. We want to pray for you before you go. So if anyone here, I don't care. You know, some people, they only want to come down if it's a big thing. If you have a small thing, big thing, I don't care if you have a cold or you have cancer. I want you to come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you because we don't want you sick. We want you well. You know, and so if that's you, anybody need healing? Because that's one thing we do. We try to minister healing every time. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget about our upcoming announcements. So you said you have the card here now. Here's a card here if you want to sign it, because, you know, it's really hard, you know, dad and mom, you know, because they're in and out. So or I guess it's me too, if you're trying to hide things from me. So if you want to sign that card, and don't forget, we're going to have a fellowship there. Any other announcements we need to make? Sign up for the spring cleaning thing, you know, so you can come and clean this place and also clean your own place, you know, do a spring cleaning, you know, anyway, and we're going to feed you too, right? So, you know, that's the main thing, you're going to get food, you know, not just clean, you know, you know, we'll clean for food, you know, people, you know, hold signs up like that, you know, some stuff. Amen. Well, praise God. The way we dismiss around here, I'll be that door, shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go out that door. Amen. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you back here next Sunday night.